The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, where every episode of the show, I am determined to help you write your own personal prescription for power. That's right. This is PowerRx. And today we're going to talk about awareness, the science and practice of being present. This is one that I'm still challenged with. My mind runs 100 miles an hour. I'm sure yours does as well. But joining me today is Dr. Dan Siegel. Dr. Siegel is a clinical professor of psychiatry at the UCLA School of Medicine and the founding co-director of the Mindful Awareness Research Center. He's the executive director of the MindSight Institute, which focuses on the development of MindSight, a word you need to remember, which teaches insight, empathy, and integration in individuals, families, and communities. He has had 4 New York Times bestsellers, Mind, A Journey to the Heart of Being Human, Brainstorm, The Power and the Purpose of the Teenage Brain, and then 2 additional books, including The Developing Mind and The Mindful Therapist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Siegel.
Thank you, Dr. Taz. Great to be here with you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And, you know, this topic of awareness and being present, you know, we hear about it all the time. We talk about it. Everybody mentions it and knows it's so important. Why is it so difficult? Why do you feel like it's so difficult in today's time to practice mindfulness and awareness? You know, what are some of the challenges that you've seen as you've had this journey and you've run the center and all the different things that you've done?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, and it relates to what you just made as in your introductory comments. You know, many people, most of us, have a very, very busy, constructive mind that's constructing all sorts of thoughts and reflecting on the past and being worried about the future. And those thoughts are actually quite different from just having the sensory experience of being in the present, like sensing your breath or feeling the breeze on your cheeks as you're walking down the path. And in this contrast between these thoughts that keep us busy, 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 some people call it a chatter mind, you know, you're actually not living as fully as you can with what's called presence or being in the present moment. And so there's some really interesting things we can talk about. And there are things you can do that science has shown allow you to live in the present moment. And all sorts of fabulous positive things have now been proven scientifically to come when you live in the present rather than becoming lost in constructive thoughts about the future or the past.
I mean, I think that's good news for all of us that struggle a little bit with being present and always being mindful as we kind of walk through our day. I know I've gotten better over the years for sure, but it's not always, it wasn't a gift. It took work. So for everybody out there, you know, what would you tell them is maybe the first step in trying to even understand that this is something that they need to work on? Where would they begin?
Well, in terms of knowing it's something you should work on, I think the simplest thing to say is every one of us, as we go from infancy into our childhood and then into our adolescence and then adulthood, has a legacy of being a human where we learn so much from our experiences that at some point the way the human brain works is it has lots of categories it makes, lots of concepts it comes up with that come out as words, for example, and thoughts that are based on words often. And those concepts and categories are very useful. Like, for example, if you're crossing a street, you have a concept, if it's a red light, I don't go because I'll get run over by a car. When it's green, I'll look both ways and then I'll cross if no cars are coming. Those are great concepts. There's nothing wrong with concepts. But here's the secret. We get so filled with these, you know, top-down constructed concepts that we actually have a difficult time, every one of us, actually being in the present moment of that walk across the street, or let's say you're walking down a beautiful park path. You know, you may be worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow at a meeting, or, you know, thinking about what you said to a friend yesterday, and those worries about the future or the past keep you from just noticing the incredible plants along your path, or a squirrel that's right in front of you, or a different kind of dog that you've ever seen before. And those ways where your thoughts keep you from being on that path is exactly what we're talking about, because concepts, thoughts, become dominant in our lives and the research shows that if you're only dominated by these constructions and not actually being in the present moment experience, you're not as happy and you're actually not as healthy.
Amazing. Well, I know you have a new book coming out. Tell us a little bit about that book. And then I want to know more about this term mindsight. What do you think that is? Is that something we all need to develop? Is that an additional sense that we haven't put enough energy into it? Super curious about that. And if it ties into the book as well.
Yes, it does. I mean, so we can start with mindsight and then get to the aware idea.
Yeah.
Mindsight is basically a term that I made up when I was in medical school, because I noticed the professors I had at this research medical school I went to, they were focusing on the physical side of life. And if a patient was ill, let's say, and, you know, had a diagnosis that was really grave and they were going to die soon, they would just say, here's your diagnosis. Sorry you have this. Goodbye. And I would say, you know, don't you want to talk to them about what they're feeling, about what you just told them? And these professors would literally say to me, why would I do that? And I would say, well, because you just told them they're dying and they have a reaction to it. It means something to them that they're dying. And these professors would say to me, that's not what doctors do. We don't talk to people about how they feel. So I dropped out of school for a while, made up this term mindsight once I decided I was going to go back to school. And I noticed that many of my professors only saw the physical side of things. So they had physical sight, you could call it, and that there must be another perceptual system we have. It turns out now we know the neurobiology of that, what happens in the brain, called mindsight, that allows you to perceive the subjective experience of feeling, meaning, thought, intention, memory, all that stuff of the mind is equally real. It just doesn't have the same physical visibility that the mind does. So mindsight is a term that started really as an effort to keep me sane when I went back to the medical school situation, which didn't have it. And it's turned out to be a very useful term from a scientific point of view, but also from a how we live our lives. So it's about insight into your own mind, empathy to let you know the mind of another, and integration, which means how you link different parts. That's the base of compassion and kindness and really how to live a full life. So if you look at applying mindsight in your life, you come up with a very simple approach, which says when you know what's going on with your attention, your awareness, and your intention, those are all mental experiences, you have a better chance of being happy and being healthy. And let me give you the research evidence to support that kind of wild statement.
Yeah.
But when you look at when you look at the research, let's say, on being aware, which you can use phrases like being mindful or mindful awareness or being present or, you know, being aware of what's happening as it's happening. These are all around the same territory. Research shows that at least five things happen when you cultivate this capacity to just be aware and be present. So here they are. Number one, and these are published, by the way, in the most rigorous scientific journals that exist. So it's going to sound unbelievable what I'm about to say. And,
right. And
I would be doubting it
I'm
myself
ready.
If I didn't know the research. So here we go. It improves your immune system's functioning so you can fight off infection. It improves your cardiovascular functioning so you lower your cholesterol and improve your heart's functioning and blood pressure. It actually reduces inflammation so that it alters these non-DNA molecules sitting on top of your genes, these epigenetic regulators that reduce the inflammatory response. It optimizes an enzyme called telomerase that repairs and maintains the ends of your chromosomes so your cells not only remain healthier, but they actually slows down aging. And also leads to the growth of what's called integration in the brain, that you are literally able to regulate things like the stress response in a more effective manner and reducing the stress hormone cortisol. So in all these ways, these five ways, research has shown you use your mind to actually create changes in both the function and structure of your physiology, including how your brain is functioning and structured, so that you actually slow aging and promote well-being.
Amazing.
So if anyone needed like a motivation, just even a personal
right.
motivation
right.
to do this, that's not bad. If you knew there was a pill that gave you all that stuff, you'd probably invest in
you
that
would
company.
Take it.
And, yes. and so the company to invest in is yourself, you know, and you can cultivate this. This is what I do in the book Aware, is I teach you how to do the three pillars of mind training that have been shown to support these positive changes in our well-being.
Wow. And I've seen this in practice. I've seen it personally. We know that the more present, more mindful you become, you do shift those health markers. You do move your age forward. You can reverse aging. Aging is plastic, and we can turn the whole thing around. So such a powerful tool that is cheap and inexpensive and in our own hands and in our own minds to really move forward with. When we're talking about mindsight and somebody is trying to understand, you know, okay, they accept it. They accept the importance of this as a tool. They have that active brain or that inattentive brain. You said a couple of things that really are fundamental to having mindsight. And I want to make sure the audience didn't miss those. And I also want to make sure I have those right. You talked about maybe taking initiative, having the intuition, having empathy, and having integration. Can you break those down a little bit better for us so that they understand kind of if they're sort of thinking, well, this is where I need to go first, second, and third, then they have a little bit more of an outline to follow. Actually, I think you said insight,
oh,
empathy,
absolutely.
And integration.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, insight is a word we use for your ability to reflect on what's going on inside your, you know, your mind, basically, your inner mind. And this would include sifting your subjective experience. Now, when I'm an acronym addict, so I want to beg your indulgence on this, but mm-hmm. that first acronym of SIFT means you want to know what are S, the sensations happening inside your body, like what are your muscles and bones feeling at this moment? What's coming from your internal organs, like your intestines and your heart, for example? So that's the S of SIFT. The I is a term for images. What images are you perceiving at this moment? So this could be visual or this could be auditory. So not necessarily word-based thoughts, but just sort of pictures in sound and sight that you're experiencing at this moment. The F of SIFT is your feelings, which beyond sensations, it would be about your emotions. What emotions are arising in you at this moment? And then T is your thoughts, you know, and because thoughts are important. They may be constructed, but nevertheless, they're important. So at a minimum, what you can do to gain insight is just sift your inner mind, your inner subjective experience. And the word subjective is sometimes used as first person experience as a scientific term. It just means no one else but you knows you're having it. You can't even put yourself in a brain scanner and say, there's my subjective experience. There may be brain correlations with your subjective experience, but your subjective experience is the felt texture of life that insight allows you to know you're having. And people who have insight actually have a richer kind of life, but also they can learn to regulate things like emotions that may be out of control and influencing their behavior in destructive ways. People with insight actually are given the opportunity to regulate with more effective means. So insight is extremely important for how we conduct ourselves in the world.
More with Dr. Taz coming up. For a lot of us, a delicious home-cooked meal is the ultimate luxury. It sounds so simple, but with all the planning, shopping, and kitchen knowledge required, not to mention all the time, we're lucky if we can even pull it off once a week. Now you can get healthy, delicious meals on the table with Sunbasket. That's right, Sunbasket delivers meal prep kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle and for any dietary needs or preferences, including paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, and there's a family option too. And you pick from 18 weekly recipes. Just in the last few weeks, I prepared chorizo chili, Tuscan vegetable soup, two bean enchiladas, Saigon beef sliders, and just delivered right to my doorstep. Very exciting. Yucatan turkey chili verde and roasted paprika chicken. Come on, you've wanted to try a meal kit for a long time. Do it. Sunbasket is so cool, and I can't stress this enough. Sunbasket features organic and clean ingredients, and each delicious, easy-to-prepare meal is ready in about 30 minutes, making healthy cooking easy and convenient. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Just go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth to learn more and to get $35 off your first order. You got to try this. Go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. sunbasket.com/wholehealth. And now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
So empathy and integration. Empathy would be taking everything we just said about sifting the inner mind, and now you're going into what you could call the inner mind, which means that, let's say, a person inside another body also has their own subjective experience. And empathy has at least five components, but basically it's, you can feel another person's feelings, you can take their perspective, you can understand what's going on in their mental life, you can even, you know, share their joys, called empathic joy, and you can have empathic concern, which is a gateway to compassion, where you're concerned if they're suffering. That's empathy, and those are all teachable skills. And integration is honoring differences and promoting linkages, basically. And so compassion and kindness are what are cultivated with integration. And there are lots of ways, you know, in the book Mindset, I wrote, you know, you look at all these domains of integration. The simplest domain to start with is the integration of consciousness itself, where you're differentiating the knowing experience, which is pure awareness in the hub of a virtual wheel. If you can picture this wheel, the hub would be the knowing, the rim would be the known. The simplest way of defining consciousness is it's how we have the subjective experience of knowing, of being aware, and the thing we are aware of. And we visualize this on a metaphor of a wheel where the hub is knowing, pure awareness, and the rim of the knowns, like you hear my voice right now, or if I say the word ocean, you know, all the associations that come up with ocean, those are all things you could put on the rim. And when you do this wheel of awareness practice, which we can talk about, you differentiate the knowing from the known to integrate consciousness. And I believe that all the different meditations that you hear about, or even things like yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or centering prayer, all these things we call mindful awareness practices, ultimately, what they're doing is they're, in their various ways, giving you access to presence, which, from a wheel point of view, would be defined as distinguishing the hub of knowing, of being aware, from the rim of the knowns. And in the book Aware, I teach the reader how to do this just systematically. And when you do that, you get access to something called presence. Mm-hmm. Presence emerges from the hub. And when you train your mind to distinguish the hub from the rim, that's the metaphor. In the book, we talk about the possible mechanisms. But when you allow yourself to gain access to this presence of the hub, all those positive features come up because you're cultivating focused attention, open awareness, and kind intention in this wheel practice. And those are the three pillars of mind training that have been shown to bring you all those positive benefits.
Fascinating. So I know, you know, those listening today probably want to wrap their head around this more. They want to understand how to bring together that hub and that rim and that space in between. That is essentially, it sounds like what you're saying is presence. Is that what your book does? And tell us a little bit about the Wheel of Awareness and if we can find that information in the book and just learn more about this.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey because the Wheel of Awareness, which I talk about in detail in this book, Aware, the Science and Practice of Presence, it's basically a guide to how to bring the Wheel of Awareness into your own experience, into your life, and how to know it yourself or teach it to others. And, you know, if you go to our website, you can get access to the book and all sorts of videos and things, and you can even do the, you know, the practice itself, the wheel itself. We've had over 1 million people stream it, you know, we just give it away from our website. And what's been so fascinating about it is it's based on the simple scientific view that comes from two suggestions. One, integration is the basis of health. Two, consciousness is needed for change. And so what would happen if you integrated consciousness? And then it takes you, in the book Aware, it takes you on a very step-by-step journey for yourself into how do I integrate consciousness in my life in very practical ways that are supported by the science that says, you know, I'm going to learn to focus my attention like on what I hear or see or taste or touch, what goes on in my body. That's focused attention. That's the first two segments of a rim, and I'm aiming a spoke of attention out from this hub of knowing to the rim of the known. And I systematically move it around these first two segments of the outside world, the five senses, the inside sensations of the body. Then I move the spoke over to the third segment, and this is where mental activities like emotions or memories or thought rest. And then I open the hub of awareness to whatever arises there. So now I'm training open awareness, the second pillar of mind training that's been shown to be essential for cultivating the aspects of well-being we talked about. And then in an advanced practice, I even bend the spoke around to explore the nature of pure awareness itself, which is kind of this mind-blowing experience that people have. And you know, I summarize a 10,000 person study where I've done this systematically with 10,000 people and recorded the results. And you know, so I offer that to the reader, what that study showed. And then when you get to the fourth segment of the rim, you bring your spoke of attention over to this. And this is our relational interconnections with other people, with friends, family, people you don't know, even the larger living being family we have on the planet. And then you can offer some, you know, ways of cultivating compassion and kindness too during this segment. And that's the way you develop kind intention, this caring, compassionate stance in the world. So you're developing focused attention in the first two segments, open awareness on the third segment, and kind intention on the fourth segment. So in one, you know, reflective practice, you're actually doing all three of the pillars that are usually separate, and they're all science-based, so they're not coming from one particular approach or something. It's all based on science so that you get this, you know, scientifically informed and inspired reflective practice. I mean, I do it every day, and it's pretty powerful because you have a visual image of the wheel. And then as you see in the book, there's actually a deep mechanism of what might be beneath the metaphor, and that we can get into if you want. But it's been absolutely fascinating to have people go on a pretty deep dive into the mechanisms of mind beneath the wheel that really enhances how you can live your life. And I give five examples of people who have used the wheel practice and how understanding the mechanisms really helps you see why each of these very distinct people, these five individuals, found a different way of harnessing the power of the hub, basically, to live this life of presence.
Wonderful. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. I'd love to go deeper into this, but I will get your book instead. Tell us about the book and where everybody can find it and how they can find you.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to drdansiegel.com, which is drdansiegel.com, you'll be able to, you know, order the book there and get access to this 2-hour videotape, actually, where I was presenting all this material, and you can see it in video form, and then some PDFs of some things about the Wheel of Awareness practice and some of the deeper scientific concepts that are involved in it. And you'll get the book when it's released. So that's the best way to get a hold of all this stuff. And you can do the wheel from the website also in the resources tab.
Fantastic. The Wheel of Awareness, the importance of awareness, and the science and practice of presence, such critical skills in today's world. Dr. Siegel, thank you for joining me. For everybody else, tune in next time to another edition of Your Power RX, where we are going to write your personal prescription for power. Thank you so much.